Hi, welcome to the Toncast, the only podcast where every week the host is different, but the very special guest stays the same. There are podcasts out there about all kinds of things. Podcasts about Irish music, podcasts about comedians, podcasts about political issues, podcasts about sexuality, podcasts about sports, podcasts about fetishy sexuality, podcasts about storytelling, podcasts about swinging, podcasts about podcasts. There are podcasts about podcasts. There are podcasts about feminine sexuality. There are podcasts about male sexuality. There are a lot of podcasts about sex, is what I'm getting at with the repetition joke there. But they're like, the long and short of it is there are podcasts and they all have subjects. There's a podcast about stuff you should know. That's what they call it. Stuff you should know. There's podcasts about myth busting. There's podcasts about ghosts, spirituality. There are podcasts about nature. There are podcasts about animals. There are podcasts about all things that you could possibly imagine. This particular podcast is about me. So, as it turns out, it doesn't have as much of a draw as I had hoped. People like their podcast to be about something more than me. But that's okay. You know, that's okay. I'll work it out. I'll work it out. But there are 15 to 20, people who, I am enough for. And I'm sure they listen to other podcasts about other things. And my little podcast is sandwiched in between them every now and again. But, you know, I appreciate that they're there. And that's why I keep recording this, for those 15 to 20 people who think I'm just enough. I'm just enough. Maybe not too much, but just enough. Like perfect. I'm perfect. That's what those people think. And those 15 to 20 people, they're why I do this. They're why I keep going. They're why I remain an entertainer. And I don't quit in a huff and walk off into the sunset with my middle finger held high in the air back behind me and pointing the other, you know, the back behind me as I walk away. It's those 15 and 20 people that keep me here, keep me going. And I'd like to dedicate this episode to them. You guys are great. I love you. I'm getting a little choked up talking to you guys right now. I really love you. I do. And you can hear the emotion. It's real. It's not put on. It's just real. I'm moved that you guys would listen. And maybe it's not 15 to 20. That could be, I could be overestimating there. It's probably 3 or 4 people. And it's you guys. It's the 3 or 4 that I do it for. It's those core. It's probably just 1 to 2 people are listening. Especially in these episodes where I don't have a host. I don't know if you guessed that yet, but there's no host this week. I have good reasons for that. I do have some hosts lined up in the near future. But I couldn't line one up for this week. It just didn't work out. And I had a hard time lining people up because I was out of town you guys, I was out of town. I had to go out of town. I was out of town last week. That's why I haven't posted a podcast called The Toncast, where the host is always different and the very special guest is always the same, and it's always me, Todd Robert Anderson, because I was out of town. A lot of people had spring break around here. We tend to schedule it around Easter. And so people have their Easters and Passovers and Eastovers, and whatever else gets, I don't know, people get together and have meals and because of God. There are a lot of very religious people in the States, judging by, you know, our average weight. So people get together and they eat a lot of food and candy, and it's because of, like, Jesus rose from the dead if you're a Christian, which, you know, I'm not going to make any cheap zombie jokes. That's run its course. Let's not do that anymore. Let's not make cheap zombie jokes. But Jesus rose from the grave, much like a zombie might. That's not a joke. It's a point that is factual. And then, you know, if you're Jewish, you don't do that. You have a Passover, a Seder or something like that. I've been to some of those. My wife's side of the family has some Jewishness there, and we've been to some Seders. We haven't been to one in a while, mostly because of our kid. We're not wanting to raise our kid in any religion. Isn't that funny? Although we do, we're like kind of, because, you know, everybody has these celebrations, you know, and he gets jealous. So we celebrate all the kind of festivities. I look on it as, you know, Christmas time is the winter solstice, celebrating the winter solstice. That's why they started celebrating Christmas then anyways, because the pagans, the people who worship nature would celebrate the winter solstice. And then Christians, you know, kind of took over. Wrangled the holiday from the pagans and called it the day Jesus was born. You know, they co-opted it. And sort of did the same thing with the spring equinox, which is when Easter always comes, and the Passover. Passover moves around, you know, like Hanukkah moves. You never know when it's gonna come, because they have weird different calendar, that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus being born, because they don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. This is all unnecessary, religious detail, but just in case you are four and don't know these things, here you go. By the way, if you're four, you shouldn't be listening to this, because I fucking curse sometimes. It and gets pretty fucking nasty. I mean, I was just spouting about sexual podcasts at the beginning. If you're 4 years old, please stop listening to this. And who are your parents? And go find them and scold them and tell them, what is wrong with you that you're, I'm four. What is wrong with you that you're not monitoring my behavior? And I'm listening to the Toncast. I'm one of four people who listens to the Toncast, but I'm only four. It's ridiculous. What's wrong with you? You two should be locked up. You're the worst parents in the world. So if you're four, go do that. Long story short, I was out of town for spring break. I was talking. I got to get back to the tangent. Now I'm lost because I got on the tangent about my kid. Anyway, I don't want you to think we celebrate. We like let him get Easter eggs and all that stuff. We just don't talk about the Jesus rising from the dead. It'll probably terrify him. So we were out of town for that whole spring break thing. And I'm sorry to be tangential. You know, it's been 2 weeks. I'm out of practice. Let's be honest, this show's never focused anyway, you know, unless I have a host, then the host focuses it somewhat, but oft times that's not the case. The host meander as much as I do. I like my energy allows people to just meander and just see what comes and live life for the moment, because that's my spirit, and it's very infecting. Well, infecting is the wrong word. It makes me sound like I'm a disease. Infectious. That also makes me sound like a disease. When you're near me, you act just like me, because I have such a powerful personality that your personality's body snatched and you become like me, where you live moment to moment and it's all cool. Yeah. Anyway, I was out of town. We went up to Canada. Me and my family went up to the Canada. If you don't know, Canada is a country just north of the United States, shares a border with the United States on the north side. On the south side of the United States, of course, is a place called Mexico that shares borders. We have a lot of problems with Mexico, not as many with Canada, although we tend to make fun of Canada and Canadians a lot. But you go up there and you realize the Canadians are there's no mean ones. They're all so sweet. I'm serious. We didn't run into one bad Canadian. And we were visiting my father-in-law, who's in a retirement home in a small town a couple hours outside of Toronto. And that's where he grew up. And actually a lot of my wife's family lives in and around the area, from her dad's side of the family. Her cousins are right there in the same town. We got to hang out with them and their kids. They're very sweet. They're just sweet. And they're so we called and we're like, hey, you know, our son is climbing the walls, because we were staying in the retirement home. That's what was happening. We were staying in the retirement home. So there were no are not a lot of children in retirement homes, as it turns out. It's mostly retired people and staff who tend not to be children. I don't know what the child labor laws are in Canada, but by all appearances, they don't allow children to work in retirement homes. Although I think that would be good for retirement homes, because my son was befriending so many of these elderly folks, and they all loved him. They were just charmed by his 8-year-old energy, and he was very polite with them, which is lucky. I mean, I feel like we're doing something right, because he's polite with other people. When it's just us home alone, he can be very, very, very rude and talk back. And be disrespectful and be a wise ass. I don't blame him for that. His mother and I both have, you know, wise ass streaks and tend to be a bit sarcastic. And that's behavior that we taught him, which now we're not necessarily trying to unlearn, just trying to teach him where it's appropriate to be sarcastic and make jokes and where it's not. With us, he had just definitely can't figure out when he's crossing the line and we're going to get irritated. But, you know, we're working it out. Look, don't worry about me and my fucking family. You worry about your and your fucking family. Why are you giving me fucking shit? Seriously, I'm trying to tell you this story was a sweet story and you interrupted it with this critique of my poor parenting skills. And I don't care for it. I don't care for that. Anyway, he was befriending a lot of the elderly people and they found him charming because he was very polite and well-spoken. He's a solo, as they say. You can't say only child anymore because that makes them sound like shunned or something. You have to say solo. They're flying solo, which is cool because it's like Han Solo, you know. So we're raising criminals who eventually will turn into good rebellion soldiers. That's what those of us who have only children are working for. Anyway, I think because he spends a lot of time with adults, he's well versed in talking to adults at this point for an 8-year-old. And he talked to a lot of these people, and they loved him. And there's this one particular woman whose name was Helen. My wife and son and I all came down to the dining. The other thing I didn't tell you is when we're staying in this retirement home, when you pay like $100 a day or something like that. But they provide three meals. You get to eat at the retirement home facility. You eat with the elderly. Which was good because, you know, my father-in-law doesn't have a lot of energy, but we would have meal times for the most part were spent, you know, with him. And that was good quality time. And the food, because before I left, this friend of mine was like, oh yeah, my mom is in a retirement home now. And the only thing they complain about there is the food. But that was stateside. This is Canada. And, I know this place. Everybody was talking about how good this place was, so it may be a high-end retirement home. But my friend said that his mom was in a high-end retirement home, but the food was lousy. So this is a Canadian high-end retirement home, and we were eating the food. I gained weight. I gained like 4 fucking pounds that I now have to lose. Like a little – my belly's all paunchier than it was before, and I don't know why I give a shit. I should just let myself go. This is ridiculous. Anyway, I mean, I'm 42. I should be fat. I was walking around Canada. There are a lot of fat people up there too. I don't know why I feel bad about letting myself go. And it's not just that. It's not because I'm an actor. I mean, it's like I'm a character guy. If I was fat, I'd probably get more work. I don't know why the hell I worry so much. Anyway, I'm a little bit chubbier than when I left because they have desserts. The food's really good. They give like chicken pot pies and stuff like that, but it's all like, you know, made from scratch. It's not like frozen dinner shit. It's like they make it. Like they brought my son and me back and we toured the kitchen. And they have all these, they have sous chefs that trained in France and other chefs that trained in Italy. Like they have like proper chefs back there. And the food, you know, was good. And then old folks, they like their desserts because, you know, fuck it. So we were eating a lot of desserts. I don't know why I didn't say no to desserts. I think I was nervous the whole time, you know, like the whole thing was kind of weird staying in a retirement home. And I think I was eating nervously. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm just a... Anyway, this lady, Helen, she was sitting by herself and asked the hostess if she could sit with us, if our grandfather wasn't joining us because he wasn't with us at the time. He was just running a little late. He was coming down. But we said, well, there is a fourth one, but why don't you sit with us anyway? So Helen sat with us. And talked with Colby, she found him, fascinating. And she said, well, you can stop by my apartment anytime. So Colby and my wife went up there the next day to say hi to Helen. And she was grateful for that. And on our last day there, Colby wanted to say goodbye to her. So I took Colby, up to her room and she said hello. And he just said, I wanted to say goodbye. And he gave her a hug. And she said, I've never met a boy like you before. And I got a little choked up. I'm going to be honest with you. I got choked up just like I did at the beginning of this podcast because I love you guys, the three of you. And this choked me up. It really choked me up. It got to me, cause she said that about my son. Cause I, like, quite frankly, was proud of him. Anyway, so she's a fine artist. She makes paintings, mostly of, landscapes, environments, those sorts of things. She does oil paintings and watercolor paintings. They're quite nice. And Colby had seen them before, but I had not. So he was showing me all her paintings. Then she opened up her closet and she told Colby to pick out one of her paintings that was in her closet. So he picked out a painting to take home with him, which is of a large barn, circular barn, with snow covered on it. And there are snowy hills in the background and snow covered pine trees. And it's a very pretty, painting. And it's an oil painting. So it's got nice texture, to it. I don't know. I just thought that was cool. This artist gave my son a painting. She wanted him to take a piece of her with him on his journey through life. It's very sweet, you guys. That's my only point there. It's very sweet, you know. Anyway, so we spent the week, you know, in this small town hanging out with cousins and the grandfather, and we learned a lot about my father-in-law driving around. He had a lot of friends, like, that he knew from high school who took us on tours of the town we were in and the town next door. It's all, you know, near Lake Ontario. Big lake. Cold. It snowed a little bit. It wasn't enough to accumulate at that point. Everybody was happy about that because they're all sick of the winter up there. But, Colby got to dance around in the snow. And, that's cool. He decided to try Taekwondo on snowflakes. He was kicking and punching snowflakes. It's very amusing. So now you know why I didn't post a Toncast last week. But I am posting one now, and you should be thankful, because no one pays me to do this. And I could, quite frankly, it's interesting. I the older I get, the more likely I am to blow off the little personal projects I set forth for myself. In my 20s and my 30s, especially my 30s, I was diligent about doing all the stuff that I had set. I'm going to write a book, and I wrote a book, and then I'm going to write a horror novel, and I wrote a horror novel. I'm going to write a screenplay. I'm going to put on a show, and I put on a show, a one-man show. And then, I'm going to do this Film Pigs thing, and I did the Film Pigs thing. And none of it, like, I've ever gotten paid for. It can be creatively gratifying, you know. But the stuff that I run, you know, I say yes usually to friends who are doing stuff and want my help or whatever, because, you know, it's nice to be around other people's energy like that. But when it's me, like, working on my novel, I'm like, I could work on my novel, or I could watch Bird on a Wire with Mel Gibson and Goldie Hawn, which, just for the record, is an absolutely terrible, terrible, terrible movie. It's a terrible movie that makes no sense. It's an action comedy from 1990, but essentially it's like a late 80s thing because it came out in 1990, but, you know, they were making it in the late 80s. So it's got that 80s vibe to it. It's a John Badham picture. It's just such a mess. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But Goldie Hawn is like the estranged wife of Mel Gibson, but Mel Gibson's in the witness relocation program, and then she runs into him arbitrarily at a gas station and realizes he's still alive because she thought he was dead or something. And then all these people are trying to kill him, and she's helping him. And they try for comedy that, like, falls deeply flat. Like, even for the 80s, like, there's a whole scene where Mel Gibson goes into a hair salon, you know, in some town. Like, they're bouncing around from town to town where he has these other identities, you see, that he's left. Because he keeps changing locations because people are always trying to kill him. So there was this one identity he had where he was a hairdresser. And, of course, all the hairdressers are either, you know, fat ladies or gay dudes. And when I say gay dudes, I mean stereotypically gay. Which is a little bit, you know, I mean, let's be honest. That's a little bit Neanderthal, man. But this, again, this 80s thing, like the 80s homosexual panic in the movies, very interesting. And I think a lot of times when they were doing bits like this, like Mel Gibson was a hairdresser, so he starts, you know, acting flamboyant with these other flamboyant male hairdressers, and it's not funny, but I think it's supposed to be funny because this is before, you know, Mel Gibson's star fell because of his Malibu behaviors, you know, so he's like biggest leading man at the time, or almost. I don't know if it was him or Tom Hanks, but it might have been him. You know, he was like the hottest dude, world's sexiest man, and he was macho, and he did, you know, Lethal Weapon movies and all that stuff, and Road Warrior stuff. He was like the essence of masculinity. So it's supposed to be hilarious when he starts acting like, you know, a stereotype of a homosexual. That's the whole thing. Like, and then the humor, like all the humor in it, it's just weird. And I don't know, I want to say hateful, but maybe that's just cause I'm watching it in retrospect of Mel Gibson's fall from grace. I don't know. Maybe Mel Gibson's trying to come back. He shows up in movies every now and again now. I don't know if he's, like really humbled or not. Won't know for a while. He'll be in Expendables 3. We'll see how he comes off on that picture. But a lot of those guys are kind of assholes. So it could be just like a bunch of assholes making a movie. I love those Expendables movies. I mean, I met Sly Stallone once and he was really nice, in person. I haven't met any of those other guys, but a lot of them have reputations. You know, like Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger, they have reputations. Like not great, like ones as far as behavior is concerned. That's all I'm saying. And Stallone has a weird one, but like in person, he's really nice. I mean, maybe they're all really nice in person. I don't know. Maybe it's like, you know, the deeper you get into a relationship with Bruce Willis, the harder it becomes. You know, that's like working relationships can be strained 2 months into making a Die Hard sequel, because you know what you're making is a cynical cash grab and a crap, and you want to go home. You want to go home and just like lie down, maybe watch television, masturbate sadly. I don't know. My point is, you know, all those guys, have reputations. I don't even know why I got off on that tangent about the Expendables at this point. I've been talking about the Expendables so long. I forgot what I was trying to say before. I'm exhausted. I'm jet lagged. My jet lag, lasts for usually about 3 weeks. And then I'm feeling better and more, clear-headed. I just wanted to touch base with you guys, let you know that, I'm still out here. I got some hosts coming up, like I said, and, is that it? Yeah, I'm not remembering. There was something else I wanted to do, but I don't remember. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. Thanks for listening. Toncast.